2.50 left to run. The Odyssey went to the lead. Dubious got the rails run to challenge and hit the lead. Hightail runs on strongly and accelerates down the outside. 100 metres left to go. Dubious in front. Exhilarates is flashing. Exhilarates after Dubious. And Exhilarates got up and won the Magic Millions. Exhilarates beat Dubious. Third over the line was Hightail.
Oh, it was a big win by the filly. She looked in trouble at the start. She copped an early check, but Karen McAvoy didn't panic. That's why he's one of the best in the business. He gave a clean air at the top of the straight, and she did the rest, running down at Dubious. And it's great to have a chat to Vin Cox, who this time of the year we normally have a chat to about the Magic Million sale. This time he was accepting the trophy on behalf of Godolphin. Vin, good morning to you, and congratulations on a huge day.
Oh, thank you, Michael, and good morning to you. Look, it was a fantastic day for obvious reasons, and to reemphasise what you said about Karen's riding, he's very cool. He just gets your horse in the right position, even when you come out of the machines, not the best, and just to finish over the way she did was just fabulous.
You couldn't have written the script any better, personally, could you? Leaving the Magic Millions as managing director, and then 12 months later, taking the major race for Godolphin.
It's just a fabulous, personally, it was one of the most amazing days I've ever had. And emotionally, I don't mind admitting it, I was quite emotional after the race, and just seeing both teams, the Godolphin team and the Magic Millions team, just so supportive of what had just happened. And it was a career highlight for me to accept the trophy from Magic Millions and from Jerry and Katie and obviously Barry Bowd, except with the previous 12 months and 7 years before that had been on the stage handing the trophy out. So, no, it was very, very exciting.
And I believe you played a big part in them actually selecting Exhilarates and the process in purchasing her for $600,000 last year, your final year as the boss of the Magic Millions. A big win for Godolphin in general, really, because it was a real first foray back into buying yearlings.
Yeah, that's correct. We had Godolphin hadn't been purchasing yearlings for nearly 10 years, and I was part of a team that went to Dubai to sort of talk to His Highness Sheikh Mohammed and Princess Haya about what they should be doing in the various jurisdictions around the world. And part of my proposal was to get back in the market and buy yearlings. And that was the first sale we set off on, which was Magic Millions this time last year. And we purchased 8 yearlings, and very lucky we happened to land on the winner in Exhilarate. So, and she's quite an exciting filly going forward. So, yeah, that was... it is a bit of a fairy tale story.
Have you spoken to His Highness since the victory on Saturday?
No, I haven't. We don't talk directly, only in meetings and things like that when you are in Dubai, but you get messages back third hand, and seemingly they're very, very happy with the result and know exactly what's going on.
Well, you mentioned how exciting she is. James Cummings and what he has done since he's taken over as the head trainer of Godolphin, it's been quite remarkable. And this is another stark example, because after her debut performance where she finished last of 5, and only on the 10th of November, not that long ago, to build her back up to get her to the performance that she did on Saturday was quite outstanding. And it does look like that's just the tip of the iceberg. She looks like the longer, the further, the older she gets, the more there will be.
It is. I mean, every time we start her, she seems to improve. That 4 lengths never start. So, I mean, she's clearly on an upward plane, and we'll get her home now and just give her that little bit of an ease up, and yeah, we'll take home the golden slipper, and she'll tell us whether she wants to go there on the day. But look, it's just very exciting for what she's done already.
Has she surprised you that she was able to achieve that?
I certainly, on the back of the first start, we were expecting bigger things that day at Rose Hill. We sort of rushed her into that race. They extended nominations, and she was, well, we thought ready, but clearly wasn't. We won the race anyway with another fella called Cam Archie. Then we took her to Gosford, and she got knocked over at the 500 and picked herself up and still found the line. And the win on that day was Zargon, who turned out to win very impressively a couple of weeks later. Then we took her to Wyong, rather, for the Magic Millions race there. And she copped a bit of traffic and flashed to the line, and Karen got off and said, with a bit of luck, we should have won. And so then we took firm aim at the Magic Millions and came up for the the race the week beforehand, and Kerry came back from holidays early, and she won impressively, and then into Saturday, which was, we know what happened there.
So the aim is the Golden Slipper. Do you think she'll be able to get there in time after what she's done? Because she has had five starts already, which is quite a lot for a two-year-old this time of year.
It is a lot for a two-year-old. Look, we're not, you know, it's an obvious thing to take aim at it. The filly will tell us whether she's coping. So we'll just see how she does. One thing about her is she's copped with some big checks in races, and she just picks herself up and keeps thriving, keeps finding the line. So she's tough, she's strong, and, you know, she's been up here on the Gold Coast. The weather's been pretty hot and humid, and she hasn't turned her hair. She's just a beauty.
Well, in some markets, she's now the second favourite in the Golden Slipper behind your colt, Tasselt. And I did see a quote from James Cummings when speaking about the Golden Slipper. He said, a good colt will always beat a good filly. So I think we get the indication as to where James sits with the ability of Tasselt v. Exhilarates. Could you see her beating Tasselt in a slipper, or is he by far and away your best two-year-old?
Oh, all of us at Godolphin think Tasselt is the one. His win at his one and only start was super impressive. Beating some highly touted colts on the day. And I think it's probably more historical in terms of the Godolphin opinion, in that we always had Exhilarates as a nice filly, but nothing out of the ordinary. And what she's done is quite extraordinary now. So I think she'll be climbing up people's rankings.
And just a word on Tasselt. When do we get to see him back again?
He'll go Silver Slipper, Todman, Golden Slipper, hopefully.
Gee, you've got so many two-year-olds. It seems every week we see another good two-year-old from the Blue Army. And on Saturday at Flemington, we saw another one with Microphone. So he's not nominated for the Blue Diamond. Would you consider a late nom for him?
Oh, absolutely we would. It really depends on what he shows us leading into the race. But, yeah, it's a shame we don't have him particularly, but... look, we'll probably keep him down in Melbourne for the short term and just see how he does. And we've got others there that are nominated. The filly called Ophelia, who we've got a very, very high opinion of, a Lonro filly, who's only had the one start. She won very impressively in the latter part of the year. But she's the one we're really taking aim at the Blue Diamond with.
All right, that's Ophelia, who's your number one seed for the Blue Diamond. So many good horses at this time of year coming back, and the big race down here in Melbourne's the All-Star. James has been very open and public about how keen they are to try and win the race because he likes the concept. And then we got the confirmation on Saturday that the three you're targeting at the race are the old Warhorse Hartnell, also Elise, and Best of Days as well. So it'll be exciting to see those three, the All-Star Mile, hopefully line up on the 16th of March. Out of those, if you were going to vote for one, who would it be, Vin?
It's a pretty good lineup, isn't it? That's three cards to lead with. But, look, I don't know. I mean, emotionally, I'll probably be more tied to Hartnell. He's just been such a warrior and campaigner for Godolphin and Sheikh Mohammed. And he's just a class act. To win the Epsom Handicap last year was, up until the Magic News, was probably the best moment I'd had at Godolphin. Best of Days, his horse has really come up through the ranks. Last start, Group 1 winner, and looks like a very progressive horse. And Elise, well, you know, she's a bit of a stable favourite as well. She's 600 kilos. She puts it every time she races, and, you know, she's an exciting horse. But... I've always voted with my heart, so I'd probably go Hartnell.
Will they have Melbourne-based autumn campaigns in the lead-up to the All-Star?
Well, Elise will come back in the... well, she's had one start back, but her next start will be in the Expressway. Hartnell, we're sort of, we haven't really committed to where we're going to go. He won the CFR last year. We prefer that we're going to go with Kamatari down there with him in that race. We're due to sit down and have a chat. We haven't got round to that yet, but it should happen this week.
And why did you decide not to throw Kamatari in the All-Star mix?
Oh, look, we feel he's probably more a 6 furlong, 7 furlong type horse. And if you have him in there, you're tempted. So we want to take that temptation off the table.
What about Avilius? Where are we at with who just had no luck in the Melbourne Cup?
Avilius is trialling either today or tomorrow, this week. He had no luck in the Melbourne Cup, and we'll just get him going again and take home in a few nice races. He's a horse we'd like to run through, obviously, the Autumn Carnival is in Melbourne and spring, and We think he's a Melbourne Cup contender if he doesn't get too much weight, but he's a lovely horse.
Would he be a possibility for the Australian Cup?
Definitely, no doubt at all. You know, he's that style of horse. He's probably not a true 2 miler. He's probably more a mile and a quarter, more mile and a half horse. So yeah, races like the Australian Cup and then the BMW races like that, we'd be looking at. Very closely.
Well, Vin, gee, you've embraced the Blue Army and you've done an amazing job as Managing Director to help guide them to their first Magic Millions with James Cummings. Just a word on the Magic Millions, putting your old cap on. It seems quite incredible, 1.7 million. How did you get beaten on 1.7 million by on that last day, the I'm Invincible? Lloydie Kennywell knocked you off there, but the overall sales figures, $11 million lots in the average up again, just another phenomenal sale.
Look, the Magic Millions just goes from strength to strength every year. It's a fantastic carnival, it's a fantastic event. Anyone that's never been, you've really got to put it on your radar. The market is very strong. Our prize money, as we know, is continuing to increase, and just the general colour of racing and the participation levels are high. So there's an appetite for horses, and the catalogue keeps getting stronger and the market keeps getting deeper. The thing that struck me about this year's sale was the strength of the international market. And it, probably on the back of a lower Australian dollar, but plenty of Americans participating, obviously Middle Eastern, Europeans in the market wanting to get a piece of the Australian racing action. So, we're in a good space, the Australian industry. It's wonderful to be there.
Vin, congratulations on a big day. We're about to have a chat to Dwayne Dunn now. Anything you want to say to him about his rod and microphone?
No, I haven't seen him yet, but tell him he did a top job.
Good on you, Vin.